This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, April 10th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, ski resorts are worried that global warming will mean less snow. We'll hear from one man whose job it is to green up the slopes. We'll also check the forecast for the weekend for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn says he wants campaign finance limits in place for next year's election. The limits are a key component of Quinn's effort to clean up state government. And they're also a move that would give him a boost in a re-election bid. Quinn said yesterday that he wants lawmakers to pass contribution limits proposed by the Reform Commission he created in the wake of the scandal surrounding ousted former Governor Rod Blagojevich. Quinn also says he doesn't think candidates with the hefty campaign purses should be able to use that money in the next election if contribution limits are enacted. That's something that undoubtedly would help Quinn because he isn't exactly rolling in campaign dough. A military jury has acquitted a Marine sergeant from Douglas County who'd been accused of murdering an unarmed detainee during battle in Fallujah, Iraq. The jury also acquitted Sergeant Ryan Weimer of dereliction of duty in the November 2004 death. Weimer is from Hinesboro. After the verdict yesterday, he hugged and thanked his attorney, and his wife's sister and high school English teacher wept from front row seats. The panel of eight Marines who served in Iraq or Afghanistan got the case Wednesday and deliberated for more than 4 hours. Weimer could have faced a maximum sentence of life in prison and dishonorable discharge if convicted of murder. In closing arguments, a defense attorney said the 26-year-old acted in self-defense. A major study on the Mahomet Aquifer has been left unfinished because its state funding was cut off. Now the consortium that oversees the project is trying to raise the money to complete it. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Funding for the 3-year study of the Mahomet Aquifer came by executive order of former Governor Rod Blagojevich. The study looked at future water needs in the region and the aquifer's ability to supply it. But as the state's budget problems worsened, the third year of funding was cut. The Mahomet Aquifer Consortium is now asking government, civic groups, and businesses in the region to chip in for the final $140,000 needed to wrap up the study. Consortium board member Tom Burns made the request last night to the Champaign County Board Finance Committee.
I'm just asking if there's any way that Champaign County can be supportive of that and whatever would be helpful to the efforts both in finalizing the report and provide the public with some information about what is the impact. How much water do we have? How much we're going to need?
The Finance Committee deferred action on the request, with members saying they want to help, but that the county budget is tight, too. Burns says that so far they've only lined up 10% to 20% of the $140,000 needed, but many of those contacted for help are still considering the request. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
It was a long shot, but veterinarians at the University of Illinois were not able to save a rare whooping crane that had broken a leg. A spokeswoman for the College of Veterinary Medicine says the endangered bird died last night of complications not directly related to the injury. The college's wildlife clinic had scheduled surgery on the injured leg yesterday. The crane was found in McLean County, where its flock had stopped on its migration from Florida. One of the leading researchers of a plan for securing the nation's power grid says any long-range strategy will have to include a number of protections. William Sanders heads the Information Trust Institute at the University of Illinois. It's part of the Trustworthy Cyber Infrastructure for the Power Grid, or TCIP, which includes work at three other universities. Sanders says recent news reports of attempted cyber attacks on the grid show it has real vulnerabilities and need to be taken seriously. He says the consortium is responsible for rebuilding the grid's entire information technology infrastructure, and Sanders believes it's not a simple matter of blocking out one hacker's virus.
Too much today, the problem is that people take Band-Aid approaches, that they, patch a vulnerability here and patch a vulnerability there. And obviously we should do that. We can't leave vulnerabilities unpatched. But the real solution is looking forward to a new architecture that ends this sort of cat-and-mouse game that we have going on right now.
The White House isn't providing any details on the recent intrusions to the power grid. Sanders says any recent attempt will likely involve a number of things in sequence that include not only cyber attacks but physical damage. He says a cascading failure could also occur, which may involve human error as much as the other factors. TCIP is a $7.5 million project funded by the National Science Foundation with support from the federal Departments of Energy and Homeland Security. Police in Champaign and Urbana are preparing for more than 9,000 runners, many of whom will take a 26-mile tour around the two cities Saturday morning. The first-ever Illinois Marathon will require patience from drivers as runners hit the city streets. Champaign Police Sergeant Scott Friedline says on many parts of the course, runners and vehicles will share the roads, so motorists will have to take extra precautions or find alternate routes.
When you mix runners in traffic, you run a risk of those situations occurring. So the better we do of marking and making it very clear where people are supposed to be, and we're working on that diligently as we speak, then the safer the route becomes.
Freeline says some streets will also be totally closed at times, and no parking signs are going up along the marathon routes in both Champaign and Urbana. He calls it the largest event he's ever had to prepare for in his 15 years on the force because of the long route and hundreds of volunteers. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Back in February, President Obama proposed $150 billion to employ people in green-collar jobs. The idea was to create jobs that benefited the environment. But he also wanted to boost the economy. A ski resort wanted to be one step ahead, so it hired a new employee to help its 2,500 acres go green. Irene Noguchi has this report.
Ross Freeman crawls into a giant recycling container. His legs are sticking out. He holds a long rake and shuffles the cans inside.
We actually fill this thing up to the brim with recycling about every 10 or 12 days. It ends up being about 2,000, 2,500 pounds or so of recycling that we send off the mountain.
This is part of his job. Ross Freeman is the eco steward at Stevens Pass. It's a ski resort tucked in the Cascade Mountains in Washington State. His official title is Environment and Sustainability Manager. Stevens Pass created that position last year when it wanted to make itself more eco-friendly. John Merriweather is Director of Planning and Environmental Services at the resort. He's worked here for 16 years.
The ski industry has changed a lot. And really the biggest change, I think, is them realizing how much global warming is affecting their business. The industry as a whole makes a lot of snow, and 1 degree difference in the climate can change that.
Merriweather says ski resorts are pushing more money into fighting global warming. Stevens Pass pledged to offset all its emissions with energy credits. It's the only resort in the Pacific Northwest to do this. Ross Freeman's work is on the ground. He drags out furniture that can't go in the landfill. He recycles rubber wheels from the ski lifts.
And then the next moment, I'm up in the office designing a policy for vehicle idling, and then I'm applying for grants or applying for industry awards. And then I'm out talking to people in the food and beverage world, working with the cooks and the chefs in the kitchens to figure out how we can be more efficient and waste less food.
All this is part of the resort's efforts to meet the national green standards. The National Ski Areas Association has 21 environmental guidelines it wants resorts to follow. It's called Sustainable Slopes. The Ski Association says 190 resorts endorse it, including Stevens Pass. Ryan Bidwell is the executive director of Colorado Wild. It's an environmental group that grades ski resorts. He says endorsing the Ski Association's Sustainable Slopes guidelines is a lot different than actually following them.
To be a part of the Sustainable Slopes program, a resort just has to say, yeah, we agree with these principles. They don't actually have to take any action. Sustainable Slopes includes a whole laundry list of fantastic ideas that resorts can and should be doing, but there's no accountability in the program.
Bidwell's group grades ski resorts on everything from recycling to the effect on old-growth forests. So how green was Stevens Pass on the environmental report card?
Stevens received a C because they have some expansion plans that would extend the resort into currently undeveloped areas and would impact some of those sensitive resources. So they lose a few points on that side.
But Bidwell says hiring an eco-steward like Ross Freeman is a step in the right direction. Freeman says there are only a few jobs like his. But he hopes more ski resorts will start hiring folks like him when they go green. For the Environment Report, I'm Irene Noguchi.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Park Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can find more information and share your thoughts at environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for the region, showers this morning, then showers likely this afternoon. Cooler, the high around 48 degrees. Wind gusts up to 20 to 30 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Colder, the low around 32. Sunny skies Saturday, the high around 55. Mostly clear tomorrow night, the low around 32. Mostly sunny Sunday, the high around 60. For Sunday night, mostly cloudy skies. There's a chance of showers after midnight, the low around 42 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, April 10th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.